Right, let's go ahead and turn into your Bibles back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Today we're going to cover again the next two verses. I'm looking at verses 11 and 12. As you make your way there, just kind of give an overview of what we've been looking at since it's been a couple of weeks since we've been in 1 Thessalonians. Again, thank you, Kurt, for taking over and preaching. A really good message. It is online from our website. And so thank you for doing that. It was a really great message in the Word of God out of the book of Zephaniah. So, but today we're back into 1 Thessalonians. And again, our theme, our vision for this year is preaching the Word. And again, as I always say with that, it's not a matter of just being behind the pulpit or in some big audience or something like that as far as preaching from a pulpit, but every time we have an opportunity to be able to share the truth of the Word of God, whether, again, somebody you work with and your family or in your neighborhood, whatever the case is, that is an opportunity, again, to preach or share the truth of the Word of God. And with that, we've been seeing that it's not a matter of just what you say, it's a matter of what you do. It's your lifestyle behind it. And we've been seeing that as we've been coming through 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. When we looked at this chapter, like the first couple of verses, we looked at Paul's purpose. Again, that it was without vain. He was concerned that the Word of God and His ministry to the Thessalonians, that they, the Thessalonians, that again, it wasn't something that was falling on deaf ears, that it was just going to go in one ear and out the other and nothing to be done with it, but he wanted his ministry to count for them at the judgment seat of Christ. In verses 3 and 4, we looked at Paul's preaching specifically and how it was pure and for the purpose of pleasing God, not changing a message, watering it down to please man or anything like that, like too often we see today. So we see Paul's preaching. And then we looked at Paul's, again, as far as his conversation. And in the Word of God, that word conversation is not just what you say, it's what you do, it's lifestyle. Again, that the message that he was preaching was backed up by the life of an example that he was living. And of course, not just Paul, but Silas and Timothy, his ministry team that was working with him. We saw Paul's compassion as we looked down. And again, in verses, I think, 4 and 5 and going through there. And again, just seeing how he had a love and a desire to be able to minister to them. And then a couple of weeks ago, we looked at, again, as far as dealing with Paul and his labor, that he not only just, it wasn't like being involved in ministry and just you take care of me, but he went out and worked the job. He was a tent maker to be able to help supply his own needs and the needs of his ministry team. And then, of course, he also preached the Word of God. Today, we're going to look at Paul's lessons as we look at and consider verses 11 and 12. I want to go ahead and read those verses. It says this in verse 11, chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, it doesn't seem like there's much in those verses. I mean, they're small verses, but there's a lot, really, to cover. In verse 11, we'll look at as far as being comforted and how he used the Word of God. And then, obviously, there's more than just comfort going on there, but that's the overall title that I gave this. And then, in verse 12, as far as called, we all, as believers in Christ, have a call. God has called us to his kingdom, but he's also called us to his glory. And we need to understand what that is all about. And of course, all of that works together in these verses that we need to see. So let's have a quick word of prayer and we'll get started in what we need to see today. Father in heaven, again, we thank you and praise you for the day. We thank you for your word. Lord, help us to understand exactly these lessons that Paul is laying out. And then we talk about the preaching and the sharing of the truth of the Word of God. We need to understand what it is to have exhortation and have comfort and to be charged by your Word and what you would have us to do for the purpose of walking worthy of you. Lord, you've given us a call. That call is not just to salvation, but that call is to be able to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to rule and reign with you. Lord, I pray that you open up our hearts and minds to the truth of your Word. Lord, help us to get any preconceived ideas out of the way or not think about what we think, what we know about these verses. Lord, open our hearts and show us and teach us. Help us to see how these verses really apply to our lives today in the world that we live in. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's jump into it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So the first thing we looked at is that word exhorted. What does it mean to exhort somebody? We might use the word today to encourage somebody. So I'm going to be using the word of God to exhort, to be able to encourage somebody to continue on in their faith or continue on in the things of the word of God. And that's exactly how you see this word used in Scripture. I want to give you a couple of references in that. And to do that, I want you to go back to the book of Acts. So there's a couple of references that we're going to look at as we see this word exhort being used in Scripture. And the first one is dealing with a guy named Barnabas. Barnabas was a guy that worked with Paul, especially on his first missionary journey. The two of them that God separated in the church of Antioch to go out and to be able to preach the gospel of grace, and primarily it was reaching the Gentiles, but the Jews were included as well, because in the body of Christ, it's neither Jew or Gentile, all one in Christ. But I want you to notice how we see Barnabas uses this word exhort in chapter 11. So go to Acts chapter 11, and we're going to look down starting in verse 22 and look to verse 23. So Acts chapter 11, verses 22 and 23, it says this. It says, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." Antioch in the Bible, by the way, is like the model church for the body of Christ, or in this dispensation of grace. And it goes on in verse 23, and it says this, "Who, when he came, and he had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." So you see him exhorting them. Now he's glad to see the grace of God and everything that was going on in the church of Antioch and everything that was taking place. And what does he exhort them to do? To, with purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord. Now that's what we call a great exhortation. Something that all of us as believers in Christ need to hear today and adhere to. That it takes purpose of heart that I'm going to cleave unto the Lord. And you know why that is such a great thing to be exhorted to do? It's because we live in a world to where everything is trying to pull us away from Christ, pull us away from the Word of God. And we have to purpose in our heart that we're going to cleave unto the Lord no matter what the circumstance is, no matter how difficult it may get. And being a Christian in this life, in this world, we need to have purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord. So what Barnabas exhorts the Christians at Antioch to do is to same thing today for us, that we need to be exhorted by the Word of God to have purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord. Now let's see this word again, but this time in chapter 14. So Acts chapter 14, same book, but we're going to look down in verse 21 and 22. So Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. Again, a bit of the context. Again, we have Paul and Barnabas, they went on this, what they call a first missionary journey. They preached to a number of churches, and they were coming back, and they're confirming the souls and all that before they get back to Antioch. And notice what it says here. So Acts chapter 14, and we'll pick it up in verse 21. It says this, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." Now, it's interesting that we see this time that exhorted is used again, or exhort, and it's that they were exhorting or encouraging them to do what? Continue in the faith. And then it says that through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. Now, again, that doesn't deal with your salvation. Once you're saved, you're saved. But understanding that there is going to be suffering along the road. That's part of it. We know that, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. And so what is Paul exhorting them to do? Hey, you need to make sure that you continue in the faith. This is a choice that we have every day. And so when you put these two references together and dealing with exhortation, or that word exhorted, it's all about having a purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord. To do what? To continue in the faith. Why? Because there's going to be some trying times. I would love to be able to stand up here as a preacher and say, you know what? You accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, everything is just going to be great. You're not going to experience any problems. There's not going to be any trials or tribulations and so forth and so on. Everything is just going to be great until you go to heaven. I would be lying. I would not be honest with Scripture. There's some things that we're going to go through as we live for the Lord, especially in this world that is in sin. That's just the nature of the course, in a sense. But the Word of God is able to exhort us to be able to what? Cleave unto the Lord and to be able to continue in the faith, which really leads us into the next thing that we see in Paul's lessons. I want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, again in verse 11. So we see how Paul exhorted them, but he also comforted them. Again, verse 11. And you know how we exhorted and comforted. That's important. You think about it, if we're going to go through trials and tribulations, not only do we need exhortation from the Word of God, encouragement, but we need comfort. True biblical comfort. In my own Bible reading, like this is one of the things I'm doing this year, and just in my own personal time in the Word of God, it's just reading through the Word of God. I'm at the book of Psalms right now. And, you know, at first I'm just thinking, oh, okay, there's 150 Psalms. Maybe I'll do 10 a day and be done in 15 days. But I found myself just reading more than that because it is just such a blessing to be in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, you'll experience every emotion that there is to man. No matter what it is, whether it's joy, whether it's happiness, whether it's anger, that sort of thing, frustration, whatever you want to say, all of our human emotions will be experienced as you go through the book of Psalms and seeing how God is able to comfort us in all that, how we can put our trust in Him, trust under the shadow of His wings. And so I've been reading more and more of Psalms. I'm already halfway through Psalms as of last night because it's such a comfort. We were on vacation last week. You guys know that. And one of the things I was explaining to Trish, I talked a little bit about this on Wednesday at our Bible study, but there was something that I read in just Psalms as we were coming back, or just something that was on my mind, and it talked about how bones are vexed and my soul is vexed. And that verse summarized kind of how I've been feeling. Bones are vexed, been having issues with my knees, we all get old, things break down, so forth and so on. But my soul is vexed with the things that that's been going on in our country, going on in the world, the lack of people just don't want to. We talked about this 2 weeks ago in our message, how people just don't want to work. We've all seen the stories how there's a lot of signs out there, hiring, but people are what? Want to stay at home because you can get paid more by being unemployed at home and then going and work. And it's like that mindset, and we see it that's pervading everything, and it's just like, my soul is vexed. And so by spending time in the Word of God, and just spending time and just reading in Psalms, it really has been a comfort to me. It really has encouraged or exhorted me to continue on to cleave to the Lord, to continue on walking in the faith, continuing in the faith. It's really given me, hey, you know what? There is hope. My expectation won't be cut off. Reading the Word of God provides comfort. And as we talk about preach the word, that's one of the things I think people really need is actually true comfort that will help them in their situation. And God has blessed us here as Christians to be able to provide comfort to others. Now I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is familiar. We looked at this a few years ago as we went through our study in the book of Job with the purpose of being able to counsel or comfort somebody who's going through trials and tribulations. And this was our theme verse or our vision verse for that year. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I want you to look down at verses 3 and 4. Paul not only exhorted, but he also comforted the Thessalonians. And it says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and I love this, and the God of all comfort. Right? He has it all. Alright? He's not lacking any of it. He's got all comfort. It says in verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Not some of it, not most of it, but all of it. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And you see that there's a ministry aspect to that comfort that God gives us. As God comforts us in the trial and tribulation that we go through, we are also able to take that same comfort and to be able to help others that are going through no matter what trouble they are going through. That's the incredible comfort of God. And the source of that comfort is the Word of God. You're in 2 Corinthians. I want you to go back a little bit further over to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 And we'll look down at verse 4 and then we'll move on. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. It says this: "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The hope that I might have is coming from the comfort of the Scriptures. Grammatically, that means that the source of the comfort is the Scriptures, being in the Word of God. Again, I've said this before and used this example, that when people come to me and they have some issue or some problem and they claim that they are Christians, one of the things I ask them is, not only are you praying, are you in the Word? And generally the answer I get is, yeah, maybe I pray, but no, I haven't read the Bible. I haven't read the Bible in a while. How can you get God's comfort if you're not opening up the source of the comfort? Patience and comfort of the Scriptures. The comfort comes from Scripture, from the Word of God. Just like the example I gave in just being in Psalms, it exhorts me, it comforts me through the trials and tribulations. It gives me that what I need to continue to soldier on. Look, folks, I am no different than anybody else. We all share this human flesh that doesn't want to serve God, and this flesh that gets tired. And look. One of the things I do, and maybe I shouldn't even say this or admit this, but when I work nights, just as I did last night, and again, bones are vexed, having some issues again with my knees. I don't know what it is, but I will walk around the casino. I've got to get out of the office. I do some things, work in the office, that sort of thing, but I got to get out, walk around. I mean, I walk, of course, when the casino is open, but when the casino is closed, I will probably 2 or 3 times a night will walk around the whole building. And with my knee issues and everything like that, which is affecting my left hip and everything like that, it hurts to walk. It is sore. And there's a part of me that's like, let's just stop. Just go sit down. It's like, no, I will force myself to continue to walk because I know it is good for me. I need to do that. And it's that mindset. I want to keep on persevering. Because that physical example is a good picture for me of spiritual truth. It gets tough walking in this world, living your life for the Lord, trying to apply the truth of the Word of God in a world that is 100% against God and the truth of the Word. It gets hard to do that. It gets hard to take a step every day, stepping every day, walking by faith in a world that is so totally against the Bible and Christianity, and even more so every day. We know that. We've seen that in this last year, how this world is against Christianity, against the Word of God, against truth. But we, and what God has called us to do, is to continue to walk by faith, continue to share and preach the Word of God. And God gives us His Word to comfort us through those times. That's important to understand as we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, in verse 11, He says, "As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you." Now that charge means God is going to hold you accountable to what He has given you to do. And Paul says, not only did I exhort you with the Word of God, encourage you to continue on in your faith, to cling to the Lord. Not only did I comfort you with the Scriptures, the patience and comfort of the Scriptures that you might have hope. Not only did I do that, but I also charged you. You have a job to do. And He charged every one of them. Not just some of the Thessalonians, not just the leaders, not just a few of them. No. Every one of them got this charge. When you look at Paul and his relationship with his son in the faith, Timothy, you'll see when you read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy that Paul is charging Timothy with a number of things to do. And as we talked before about this vision of preaching the Word, it's not just the pastor's responsibility. It's not just the deacon's responsibility. It's not those who have just, been saved for a long time. No, it's every one of our responsibility that God has given us to share the truth of the Word of God with others. God can use you to exhort somebody. God can use you to comfort somebody with the Scriptures. And the charge is exactly that. To preach the Word. Now, there's a number of references I could have gone to in dealing with this, but most of you already know where I'm going. Our vision verse for 2021. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. And we're going to read down through verse 5. As you make your way there, this passage is near and dear to me because it is this very passage that God used in my life to give me direction of what He wanted me to do. And that was preach the Word. And this is before I really understood who Timothy was or Paul was and understand. All I knew is when I read this in my bedroom, I knew that God was speaking to me quite clearly that this was the job I was needing to do. It wasn't continue to play professional jazz percussion. It was to preach the Word of God. But it's not just a call, something that God has given to me uniquely or to others that are pastors or preachers. It's for every believer in Christ. And we will be held accountable for this charge. Look at it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, or the living, and the dead, at his appearing, which is the rapture of the church for the body of Christ, and his kingdom, when he comes back the second coming. Everybody's going to be held accountable. There is going to be a judgment for everybody. For us, we get judged after the rapture of the church, at the judgment seat of Christ. So this is something that we're going to be held accountable for. This is the charge. What's the charge? Verse 2. Preach the Word. That's it. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. In other words, this is the charge that's being laid out. So all of us need to be ready to preach the Word in season, out of season. When you know that you have an opportunity that you can prepare for, like every Sunday, that's in season for me. I know that I got to get up and I'm going to be preaching the Word of God. I need to prepare for that. But out of season is, all of a sudden, somebody at work will say, hey, Charles, can you show me or teach me or share with me what this is all about? Something that is not necessarily prepared for, but guess what? You need to be prepared for, ready to go. And there's times you look at preaching, it's rebuke, reprove. How many people like to be told what they're doing is wrong? Nobody really does. Do you? I mean, it's like because we like to think we're doing everything right, so we don't want to deal with any negativity or any conflict or anything like that. I understand that this part of the charge is not easy, but notice what it says. Preach the Word, be in season, out of season. Reprove. That's telling somebody, you know what, that what you're doing is not right, and this is why. Rebuke, you need to stop doing that. But it says exhort. We've already dealt with that word. Encourage them, being in a word. It says, how am I going to do that? With all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine. Here's what the Word of God says. But let's continue on with this charge, because it's not done yet. Because verse 3 and 4 gives you the circumstances of how we need to fulfill this charge, and how we, the atmosphere, the climate that we need to do this charge of preaching the Word of God. And verse 3 and verse 4, for the time will come, and it's here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Think about it. Just think about it. Just the physical examples that's been going on for the last year. Now, let me give you this example. I hope I'm not stepping on any toes or anything like that, but let me just give an example that I think everybody can relate to. Law-wise, we have the constitutional right to protest. That doesn't mean rioting, breaking into stores, stealing dishwashers, TVs, whatever you can get your hands on, burning things down, that's not protest, that's lawlessness. But yet you've had people in the media or politicians of a certain type that will say that that is a form of protest and that's what they have to do to be able to change things. No. It's wrong. And people that do that need to be reproved, rebuked, and shown what is right according to sound doctrine. But we live in a day and age where people don't want to hear the truth. They want to turn their ears away from the truth and be turned on the face. Again, not being political, but an example I think we all can relate to because we've been seeing it for over the last year and continue to see it. Well, that's what we have going on a lot in Christianity, where people really don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear some preacher or some teacher that will itch their ears, scratch their ears, and be able to like have some teaching that suits their lifestyle, even though it's against the Word of God. It turns out, I don't know, tell me the truth. But guess what? The charge that we have in preaching the Word still is the same, and we're going to be held accountable for it. Yes, this is the climate. People do not want to hear the truth. They're going to turn away their ears from the truth. But notice verse 5. It's still part of this charge. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Yes, this is the climate that you're going to have to deal with. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to endure some afflictions. But this is the charge that you have, Christian. Preach the Word. Be ready. Be in season and out of season. Be ready to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. You're going to need some long-suffering to do this charge. And you're going to need sound doctrine. Now, I know there's going to be people that are not going to want to hear it. They're going to turn away their ears from it. But watch down all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, go out there, reach people, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, folks, again, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me quite clearly today. One of the things is like I love the time that my wife and I had. It was a good vacation. It was a good time to refocus and retool in dealing with ministry. There's a big part of me that's like, okay, God, I'm done. I had it with the world. I had it with the things I've been seeing. And I just call us home. Beam us up. Blow the trumpet. Let's get on with it. What are you waiting for? People are not listening to truth. They don't want truth. They want wrong. They want evil. They call evil good. People just want to live in a lawless society. Lord, I'm done. Come on, let's go. But every day that I'm still living and every day that we are still here means that we have a job to do. And God is able to comfort us and exhort us and give us the things that we need to be able to do that job. And yes, we're going to have to endure afflictions. Yes, we're going to have to go through some tough things. But the reward will be so worth it. We can't give up. Even though we may feel like it, we can't. You go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, again verse 11. Paul says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. He's letting the physical relationship of a father and son, our father and his children, not just son, daughters, father and their children. He says, this is how I've exhorted you. This is how I comforted you. This is how I charged you. Just like a parent taking care of their children. I want you to go to Proverbs. Psalms is pretty much the middle of your Bible. The book of Proverbs is right after that. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to look at the first five verses of Proverbs chapter 4. Just like we had 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. We're going to have Proverbs chapter 4, also 1 through 5. And if I can say, if there's one thing that would go a long way to fixing the things that we see in this country and this world, it is this instruction right here. What do you mean by that, Charles? Imagine, and I'm going to pin this direct. I know we've got Mother's Day coming up next Sunday, so don't forget your moms, all right? But specifically, fathers. If we had biblical fathers being obedient to what the Word of God says, we'd have a whole lot less problems in this country. We would. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 4. This, again, is written, obviously by God, but God uses Solomon. All right? And Solomon relates his relationship with his father David. Solomon also giving instruction to his son Rehoboam that was king of Israel afterwards. I want you to notice what it says here. Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrines, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Would to God we would have biblical fathers that would actually heed this of what we're seeing in Proverbs chapter 4. Or what we've seen, really, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. That we had men of God that would exhort their kids, comfort their kids, charge their kids with the truth of the Word of God. That they would live the truth of the Word of God in front of them. If we had that, this country might be in a whole different place. Back in the 90s, in dealing with the church I was a part of and dealing with an urban ministry, talking to kids that get involved in games, you know one of the number one reasons why they got involved in games? Because of the family. They had no family at home. They had no father figure at home. And the gang became their family. Still the same today. We have people that biologically parent kids, but they don't father. They don't train them up in the truth of the Word of God. Now again, I can't expect the world to do that which is biblical, but what I'm saying, if we had family units with fathers that actually obeyed the Word of God and taught and instructed their kids to exhort them, to encourage them, to comfort them when they're stumbling and falling and having problems, and charge them, hey, this is what you need to do by the Word of God. Look at my life. Look at my words. Retain my wisdom. If we had that in this country, we'd have a lot less tomfoolery going on today. Probably a lot less rioting, protests over things that are just downright really stupid. We'd have a whole lot less quote-unquote hurt feelings. We would. If people actually obeyed and applied the Word of God, which will be next week's message as we just cover one verse next week, verse 13. We need to move on though. You go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We spend some time digging into verse 11 and seeing the importance of, the lessons that Paul is laying out, how he dealt with the Thessalonians when he was there, and how, again, as it says in verse 11, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Why? Verse 12, here's the call. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Why did he do that exhortation? Why did he do that comforting? Why did he do that charging? Why? So that they would walk worthy of God. This is something that we see a number of times in the Word of God, as far as walking worthy. We see a lot as far as just dealing with the walk. We can spend all day just talking about the kind of walk we need to have. We can go to the book of Ephesians. There's seven walks in the book of Ephesians. That was a book that we covered back in 2016, the first year that we started this church. That was the first book that we went through, and we saw the seven walks that are laid out. But again, I just want you to see a couple of references here in dealing with walking worthy, and we will go back to Ephesians here. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. It says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, walking worthy of the vocation. That vocation is job. Now, he's not talking about whatever physical job you had. Again, Paul was a tent maker, right? I'm in law enforcement, all right? So whatever physical job you have, yeah, that's great. But we're talking about the biblical job that we all have. What's the charge that we just talked about? Preach the word. How are you doing in your vocation of sharing the word of God? If God was to give you a yearly evaluation, what would that look like? Would it be favorable or not? Would there be some work that needs to be left to do? All right? There will be an evaluation day. a real serious one. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Right? Just like we saw in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. He is going to judge the quick and the dead as appearing in His kingdom. We give an account of how we served the Lord, how we walked according to the vocation which we are called. Go over to Colossians. You're in Ephesians, just go over to Colossians, the book that's right before 1 Thessalonians. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, which is something that is a prayer that Paul has for the Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says this, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Paul was praying those three things, those three important words, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, that you understand God's will. Why? So that you would walk worthy of God, being fruitful in every good work. Man, that's a prayer. It's a prayer that we should be praying for all of us. But again, walking worthy. Why did Paul exhort? Why did Paul comfort? Why did Paul charge like a father does his children? Why? So they would walk worthy of God. You go back to 1 Thessalonians. When I think about this, we live in a day and age where my profession is being attacked on a daily basis. Defund the police. We've seen some places where that has taken place and it has not gone well. I don't understand. People should understand that human beings, we have a sinful nature and we're prone to do that which is wrong. We need structure. We need order. So if you get rid of structure and order, guess what people are going to do? Any parent understands that. Be a parent and just raise your kid and don't have any structure or discipline. What's that kid going to be? Hell on wheels. That's for sure. We need structure. And there are some bad apples. Yes, they are. You can say that in every profession. Every profession. My prayer, I shared this before, is like when I go to work, I pray, Lord, help me to do things according to the truth of the Word of God and according to the laws of the land. That is my prayer. Every time I go to work, I want to walk worthy of the profession that God has called me to. Yes, He's called me to preach. He's called me to law enforcement, something that was never in my brain or my mind whatsoever. But I can't imagine not doing it. All right? This is something, and I want to walk worthy of it. I want to honor the badge. All right? The great responsibility that has been entrusted to me by the state of Kansas. And I want to walk worthy of that vocation because I know if I don't, I'm going to be held accountable as I should be if I do something wrong. And that same type of accountability is the same thing that all of us as Christians should understand, that we should be walking worthy of that vocation that God has given us. And it goes on, and you go back to verse 12 again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you. He's called you. It wasn't just for salvation. When you became a Christian, He's called you to do a job. To share the truth of the Word of God. To be the mouthpiece of God. God's not going to come down in this time period and start preaching the gospel to everybody. That's why we are here. He's called us. I want you to go back to 2 Timothy, but this time chapter 1, not back, but over, go to the right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 7. We're going to get down to verse 9, but I want to start in verse 7 just to give you the context of what we have here. Now, again, this is Paul, his personal letter to Timothy. These are the last words of the Apostle Paul before he is going to die, gets beheaded by Nero, and he's giving Timothy a charge, things to carry on to do. But notice what he says here, because Timothy was having a tough time. He's a young man pastoring a church that had a lot of spiritual warfare that was going on in the city of Ephesus. And obviously, it had brought Timothy to some tears. Paul referenced that at the beginning of this chapter. But notice what it says in verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you are a Christian today, if you have legitimately accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is the kind of spirit that you have right now. Not one of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. You have that right here. For what purpose? Well, verse 8, it says, be not thou therefore, based on verse 7, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In other words, we need to do our job. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Don't be people like, I don't know enough, or somebody's going to laugh at me if I try to share the gospel. God's given you a spirit, a power, love, and a sound mind. For us to not to be ashamed of the gospel, nor, as it says, of Paul, his prisoner. I mean, the doctrine that Paul lays out for us. God used Paul to give us this dispensation of grace, this understanding of the gospel of grace, to be able to preach to others. That they can be saved by grace, 100% by grace, and to be able to be used of him, to be able to rule and reign someday. But he goes on in verse 9, and it says this, who has saved us, that's one thing, and called us. That's the second thing. Most Christianity, or most Christians, think the first thing. I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm saved and going to heaven, and that's it. They don't do anything else. Maybe they'll go to church. You know, maybe they'll pray some. Maybe they'll read some. But that's it. Don't ask anything of me. Now, wait a minute. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Between what we've seen here and where we're at in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we all have been called. The moment that you said Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, whatever that was, you have been called. Next month for me, it'll be 33 years that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that He saved me and He called me. June 4th, 1988, on a Saturday morning, when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus, not only did He save me that day, He called me. He's given me a vocation. He's given me a job to do. And He's given me the spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, to be able to do what? To do the call. And it's not just me. It's every believer in Christ. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been called. You've been drafted. You're in the army. You have a job to do, soldier. How well are you doing? How well are you preaching the word? How well are you doing that work of an evangelist? How well are you exhorting somebody, comforting somebody with the scriptures, charging them, helping them to grow? And it's amazing in verse 9 that this call, his purpose was given to us even before the world began. That's just not flowery language that God's using there. I got to fill up my Bible, so I'll just put that in there. That sounds nice. God literally, before you were ever born, again, you had the choice whether you get saved or not, but
He's laid out the plan for you. He's laid out the works for you. He's laid out the call for you. Even before he said in the beginning and created the world.
That's incredible to think about. Incredible to think about. That somewhere in eternity past, before the world was even created, God knew I'd be doing exactly this right now at this moment. That's mind-blowing. And it's not, again, just me. It's all of us. He's given us a plan, all of us, and it starts by getting in Christ. Not just being saved, but He calls us. I want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians. We need to finish up here. I want you to look at verse 12 one more time. It says, as you know, in verse 11, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom, that's salvation, and glory. God wants you to have the same glory as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we'll cover it later in other aspects in 1 Thessalonians. As we get down to the end of chapter 2, we'll actually deal with that in some detail about that glory and sharing in His glory. But what you need to understand today is there's more to salvation than just being saved and having fire insurance from hell. God has called you not only to His kingdom, but to glory. He wants you to be glorified just as the exact same glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus Christ inherits, and He inherited it all, we have the opportunity to share in that as well. But it's not a guarantee. You accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you are heaven bound. You have eternal security. You can't lose it. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot lose your salvation. But we can lose out on the opportunity to share in His glory. Let me just give a couple of references and we'll be done. I want you to just go over to 2 Thessalonians. You're in 1 Thessalonians, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Notice what it says there. It says, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness in the work of faith with power. I mean, there's a job that God has for us to do. It's laid out right there. And He goes in for this reason, verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. May. May is not a guarantee. It's conditioned. May. I may walk over to Kurt right now and thumb wrestle him, or I may not. Yeah, you can probably guess that one. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm not going to do that. Alright? I may go shopping after church, and I may not. I'll give you a more realistically one. I may go home and go to sleep or stay up. I'm going to go home and go to sleep, since I've been up working all last night. And my wife, the same way. Alright? May is conditional. And it's like, may be glorified. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in us, but it depends on, are we walking worthy of the calling? And that Jesus Christ may be glorified in us. Give you another reference. We'll finish it up with this. In chapter 2 of the same book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but look down to verse 13. We'll read down through verse 15. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. It says, but we are bound to give thanks only to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's our salvation. I'm not going to get into the details of everything there. That's not predestination. It's not like some people get saved, some people don't. It's like He determined before the beginning of the world of how we are going to be saved. How we're going to be saved? Salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. If you believe the truth, then you're going to be saved. If you choose to believe the truth, you will be saved. And if you don't believe the truth, then you will not be saved. But that is step one. Your salvation. Notice what it says in verse 14. Whereunto He called you. And once you accept the Christ as your Savior, you're saved. Guess what happens next? Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same glorified Lord Jesus Christ after He resurrected out of the tomb, we have the opportunity to obtain that same glory. We've been called to do that. Well, how's that going to happen? Verse 15. Therefore, based off what he just said in 14, therefore, brethren, what do you need to do? Stand fast. And hold their traditions, which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, which is the Word of God. The things that Paul writes, that has been preserved for us, it is God's Word. So if we want to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to do what? Stand fast. Hold the traditions. The only one of the few times the word tradition is used in a good sense in the Word of God. Right here, the other time is also in this book. The things that we have from the Word of God, standing fast and holding on to those things. And what did we read in the charge that we had for us in 2 Timothy chapter 4? How there's going to be some that do what? Turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. They're not holding on. They may be saved and heaven bound, but they won't be obtaining the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and ruling and reigning with them. Why? You see, Paul is still exhorting the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians. He's still comforting them. He's still charging them. Hey guys, you want to be worthy of this call, you want to obtain that glory, so here's what you need to do. You need to stand fast. You need to hold on to the truth of the Word of God. He's exhorting them. He's charging them. If there's anything that we need to understand today, and I know I say it all the time, but that's the desperation that I have in the world that we live in. We have got, as believers, get back to the truth of the Word of God. We have got to get back to trusting God, believing His Word. Like I said, we'll talk about that next week, Lord willing. Because that's when it's going to be effective in our life and to be able to turn around and affect other people's lives if we are going to stand up and be ready to do exactly what Paul did. Exhort people. Encourage them that, hey, you know what, Christian? Cleave to the Lord. You know what? Continue in the faith. Yeah, there's going to be some tribulation entering into the kingdom of God, but you continue to hold on. Let me comfort you. Let me share with you what it says here in the Word of God. Some of the tough things that we see, these, you know, incredible people and characters in the Bible, the things that they went through, and David and so forth and so on and all that. It's not, let me comfort you with that. But also let me charge you. This is what the Lord wants from you. This is what He requires from you. This is what He wants you to do. You can do that. Don't ever forget. You don't need to be a theologian to share the truth of the Word of God with somebody. You do not need a Bible college degree to share the truth of the Word of God with somebody. All you need is an open heart, a willing mind, open book. The Lord's going to teach you. He's going to show you. As a church, that's what we're here for. To be able to teach you, to help equip you in the truth of the Word of God. Because it's important. There's family members that need the truth. There's friends that you know that need the truth. There's neighbors that you know that need the truth. They need exhortation. They need comfort. They need to be charged with the truth of the Word of God and understanding what it is to truly walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank You and praise You for the day. I thank You for Your Word. Again, there's so much. Every time we come to this book of 1 Thessalonians and just covering two verses at a time. Next week, we'll only cover one verse. There's so much there. Lord, help us to glean a little bit of it. Help us to take it to heart, apply it to our lives, that we can start making a difference in the people's lives around us. That we walk through the open doors that You give us. Lord, help us to be encouraged in the Word today. Be comforted. And understand the charge that You've given us. Help us to walk worthy of You. Worthy of the calling that You've called us with. That someday that we can't obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're doing everything that You have us to do to let our light shine here now on this planet. Father, when we get discouraged, Lord, lift us up. Encourage us with your word. Lord, we all go through it. I know we do. I know it. I don't have to guess at that. Because we're all human. There's times we want to quit. There's times we want to give up. There's times that we look at it and say, it's just not worth it. It seems like nothing is getting done. But no, your word does not return void. It will bear fruit. Father, help us to continue to walk the call that you've given us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.